Welcome to the Medical Advantage Podcast, where you can hear healthcare professionals, expert consultants, and industry thought leaders discuss the exciting new ideas and technologies that are changing the business of healthcare. Tune in to each episode as we hear from some of the most innovative minds in medicine about the future of healthcare and how your organization can stay profitable, efficient, and on top of industry best practices.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Medical Advantage podcast series. As always, I'm your host, Selena Dussault, and today I'm very excited to discuss one of the most important topics in healthcare, that is care management. As healthcare has continued to evolve, so has the way that we use technology to improve patient outcomes and reduce disparities in access to care. Care management is one invaluable tool care providers can use to do that through the use of various engagement methods that keep patients on track with medication adherence, preventative care, and other aspects of the treatment regimen. Now, of course, while care management is a powerful tool to improve outcomes across populations, it's also important to remember that there is a human face behind each number, statistic, and percentage point. For many patients, effective care management strategies can quite literally be life-changing. That was the case with one young woman whose encounter with a Medical Advantage care manager changed her life. Here with us today to talk more about her story are Medical Advantage's very own Marcy Ward and John Broek. Marcy and John, thank you so much for joining us today. Would you two like to start by sharing a little bit about yourselves and your roles here at Medical Advantage?
Sure. Thanks, Selena, and thanks so much for having us on today. My name is Marcy Ward, and I am a senior clinical consultant here at Medical Advantage. And I've been with Medical Advantage a little over 4 years, and most of that time has been in the role of a care manager and as well leading a team of care managers in various care management projects. So John and I started out together as care managers, and we worked closely together in a pediatric practice. And in those early days, I'm sure you remember them, John, no one really understood what care management was, let alone believed in it. And we were very much like pioneers. That's what we called ourselves. And we had to prove our worth. We had to win the physician's respect and gain the acceptance of the staff, while at the same time, we worked with the most difficult patients because, they really didn't trust us or understand what we were doing. And I think sometimes they gave us the hardest patients because they didn't really believe that those patients could change. They had given up on them. And maybe they thought, well, they really can't hurt anything here. So that's what we started with. And it was really rough in the beginning. And the wins were few and far between. And the one thing that kept us going were the patients. And we felt that if we could make even the tiniest difference in their lives, the hard work was worth it. And I'll let John introduce himself.
Yeah, so I'm John Broek. I'm a clinical consultant for Medical Advantage. My background is in dietetics. I'm a dietitian. And to what Marcy had said, we first kind of got started 4 or 5 years ago. I had started about that same time and just traveling all over the Genesee County area, hitting up different practices that was attached to provide nutrition counseling for kind of the patients. And I've also done kind of everything and anything in different capacities, different projects, different grant-based, as well as the PMC ACO, providing nutrition counseling and hospital discharge follow-up calls and a lot of other consultant type work for different projects. And regarding this particular patient that we're going to go into, it is one of those patients where it was a difficult patient, you know, very difficult situation that, hey, let's just give it a shot. Let's give, you know, someone else to tap into what's going on and see, can something be done? And in this case, thankfully, something was done.
Fantastic. Thank you both. You have such a wealth of knowledge and have had such an incredible experience with this particular patient. I'm very much looking forward to how you came into this case and how you were able to achieve success with this particular patient.
Yeah, I first heard about Janice when I was asked to capture her story for a blog article. And we thought that this was a perfect example of our work here in at Medical Advantage with Care Management. And as John shared his story with me, I was immediately reminded of the privilege we have as care managers to enter a patient's life. And sometimes we enter when they're in a crisis situation, when there has been like some dramatic change in their health, like a heart attack or a stroke. And the steps to take are clear, and the results are dramatic in noticeable, but most often we enter just in the day-to-day struggle of their chronic condition and where the answers are not always so clear. And it's usually like one step forward and two steps backward, and the patient's discouraged. And it's here where we usually journey with the patient. And John and Janice's story is a perfect example of this.
Thank you. Yeah, care management is definitely something that touches people and has a positive impact in so many ways. And today we're really looking forward to walking through that journey of Janice, and that really says a lot about how powerful care management can be. Before we get into her story today, I do just want to make a note to our listeners that this patient's name has been changed to protect her privacy. So with that, John and Marcy, why don't you tell us just a little bit about Janice and her story?
Sure. Selena, I'm going to let John tell the story because he was right there and knows it so well.
Yes. So this patient story is a patient story that I will never forget for the rest of my life, because of just how, and it seemed like on paper, this patient didn't seem very complicated on paper, but as the years progressed and this patient was, I dealt with the patient for a couple of years, and across that, it just became more complex and just came more than I ever expected it ever would be. So to give a background of the patient, she, at that time in 2017, 2018, we got connected because she, at that point, was about 550-ish pounds, at the age of like 33 at that point. And the care manager that was embedded in the actual practice was trying to get her into nutrition counseling because of her weight. So my bread and butter of care management, weight management. And like I said, on paper, didn't seem very complicated, but then once the conversation started and I actually met with patients, and over the years, if that patient trusts you and you build that trust and that patient gets that trust from you, then you realize just how much more complicated and how much more there is to the story. So we first really got going in beginning of 2018 when she was okay with really putting effort, putting time into actually, all right, let's look at your eating and your activity and getting a little more say as to what really goes on in her day-to-day life. So she's 33, she's about 550 pounds, and she came to me several years after having bariatric surgery. So she was probably in her late 20s when she had bariatric surgery. She was about 650 pounds and then lost about 150-ish, close to that 150 pounds from bariatric surgery. But unfortunately, because she was younger and then had this massive weight loss, she then wanted to become pregnant. So then that the pregnancy, was super great and it was awesome for her and she was super happy. But then that allowed for weight gain to come back. And she gained about 100-ish pounds more from after delivery. So she got right back to where she was, continued to struggle, just, she did all the things that she was supposed to, take her vitamins and eat well, and all these things were happening. She was doing exactly what I was really trying to have her do, alter eating, do some more activity, but just kept hitting a wall, continued struggling. So then we would look to the next thing. All right, we're looking at eating, we're looking at activity. All right, now we're going to look at, we know, you know, from previous conversations that her mental health was not being addressed appropriately, and she was probably altering and maybe even, you know, kind of fibbing on her eating diary, which ended up being true. You know, she was dealing with depression, anxiety, and suicidal thoughts. And that was never being touched on. You know, she wasn't really speaking to her doctor. She wasn't speaking to therapists. So then we addressed that. We got that squared away. And then we went right back to where we were, to the eating and activity. And after months and months of that happening, nothing. Nothing was happening. There was no change. And in my mind, you know, sure, she's has a lot to lose and it'd be very difficult. But if you're doing exactly what she's saying she's doing and putting all this effort, there should be some budge, but there just, wasn't. So at that point, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, there's something that's wrong. There's something that, you know, I need to do or I want to do, but I just don't know what to do. And over weeks and weeks, thought about it. And I came to this just Googling one day, and I came across the U of M, University of Michigan, has a metabolic clinic. And I was like, all right, well, let's just refer her over because I have my hands up. You know, I'm not giving up on her for anything, but I think someone else needs to look at this because I just have in the back of my mind, and I told her over and over again, there's something special about you. And we laugh about that. So I pushed her to, and myself and her pushed her provider to, or encouraged the provider to send her over to the U of M Metabolic Clinic just to see what can they find. So then that was somewhere in 2018. And then the summer of 19, it takes forever, of course, to get these kind of clinics. So summer of 2019, she got into the clinic, so it was accepted and was assessed, which in the beginning, the assessment really didn't provide a whole lot. They kind of toyed with different ideas of, all right, we need to get you back on your vitamin mineral supplementation from the bariatric. We might talk about revising your bariatric surgery. But still, it just wasn't, there's still something just underlying, and I think everyone knew it, but still just didn't know. And then fast forward, that was like summer 2019. And then towards the end of 2019, like November, December, as part of that process, part of being in the clinic, they do genetic testing. And I got a call from her at that time after genetic testing was done, and she said, hey, I don't do this. I'm not sure what to think, but they told me that I have this extremely rare genetic defect. I didn't even know the name of it. I couldn't even remember. They really didn't have much information because it was just so unknown. There just wasn't much information on it. And I was like, well, okay, let's take it one step at a time. Let's take the information. And then you're going to hear back in a couple of weeks to get a little bit more information. We'll just keep going at it, step at a time, step at a time. And then fast forward a couple months later, she really gets as much information as she can, and she finds out that she has this extremely rare genetic defect called SH2B1. And that defect directly affects her appetite and how she metabolizes fat. I was like, boom, like I know this was it. This was what was underlying the entire time. And I get a little emotional actually thinking about it because she spent her whole life being judged, being criticized, being, you know, like, oh, let's just change your eating. Let's just act, you know, let's just calories in, calories out. Let's just keep altering this and to make the change. But like, it is not doing it. Like there's something more. So thankfully that like little intuition that there's something more, you know, she trusted me, of course, and trusted her provider to send her over. And now she knows that she has extremely rare defect. And with this defect across the globe, there is no known true data of like how many patients truly have it. All I know is from what she has said, what she's been told is that there's about 15 people, whether that's in the United States or the world. But from my research, it sounds like that honestly is the world. Across the globe, it seems like there's about only 15-ish people in the world known to have this defect. In Benton, Michigan. It's crazy that happened. And then with those findings, you know, the greatest part about this, not even just knowing that she has a rare condition and that's what's causing her extreme weight, is now that she was able to get into this this research study. This research study had kind of already been going on. This medication, it's an injectable medication called setmelanotide. And they allowed this defect, this SHH2B1 defect, to be into this research study. So she can use this injectable medication that can help change and alter how she processes her food and her body, the fat and the appetite and so forth, for free. All this for free. So she gets to go to U of M, the travel, the medication, all the supplies, the food, the studies, the labs, everything for free forever, essentially. Right now, you know, she had to go through a research, kind of like a trial. You know, you do it for, I think it was 30 to 90 days. I can't remember the exact time frame, but as long as you lose, I think it was 15 to 20 pounds. Sorry, I don't know the exact details. Then you get to move on to the long-term phase. And within that three months of participating in that trial, she lost 30 pounds, like the most she's lost in years from this medication. And pretty much no side effect, except it's tans her skin. So the only side effect of this injectable medication is that you get a really nice tan. So it's really great. It's free, gives you a tan, and she gets to appropriately lose the weight that she has been looking for forever. So now she's in this phase where she is now moved into this long-term phase, and I'm not totally sure, you know, quote-unquote long-term means, but sounds like, she, you know, as long as the research study is there, she gets to continue this for free. And then lastly, on top of that, one of the best parts about it is that the entire time she talked about, you know, I just want to get on like a stage or some sort of like format like Facebook and create this page for those that like deal with such excessive weight. And like, how do you really just manage yourself and your emotions and all the issues you deal with? And a part of being in U of M's metabolic clinic and this research study this year, February 2021, U of M had a world rare disease conference. And they had a little panel where they got to speak with, it was all virtual, of course. They had a few patients that have had these rare conditions. And she got to speak at this across the globe, worldwide rare disease conference. So people from London, from Germany, all over the world got to hear her story and what she'd been dealing with. Like, how more big of a stage can you get, you know? So from all of that, it just started from a basic referral to a patient who had this extremely rare disease. You know, you don't know at that time that's going to be as complex as it is. But if you give the time and you allow that patient to trust you and you trust her, it can go so far.
That is so incredible, John. I, you know, congratulations to you for working through that with her. There's such an incredible and uplifting story and really a true testament to viewing patients holistically and building that trusting relationship. It's individual experiences like that that really show the importance of proper engaged care management. When you zoom in to see the benefits of in each individual case, it's just incredible. And so now to put all of this into context, why don't we zoom out just a little bit? This is one incredible patient example, but let's zoom out a little and talk about the need for care management on a broader population health scale. How big is the need for care management? You know, who can enroll in a care management program and how? What does this process look like in today's healthcare system?
Currently, to enroll in a care management program, your insurance or your health plan has to cover the cost, which it's becoming more and more of a popular idea because they're seeing the benefits. And if you think about how busy a physician is, a practice, how busy they are day to day, They really don't have time to check up on all these patients. And that's what we do as care managers. We just make sure that they're not falling through the cracks. So, I mean, just looking at the statistics, you can see that the need is huge. But then to enroll in care management maybe is a little trickier because, of course, your health plan does have to cover it. But many of them do, as I said, and then many of them have care managers on staff that you can reach out to or will reach out to you as a patient to check on you to see how things are going with your chronic conditions. But and where should patients look for help? I would start by calling your health plan to see if they cover it. And then if they do, you can connect with one of those care managers or see if your practice has a care manager because many practices now do have their own care managers.
That's fantastic, Marcy. And of course, there are many resources out there, but this is a portion of what Medical Advantage does offer. Can you speak just a little bit to the services that you provide and some of the support that you're able to provide to patients and connecting them with resources?
Yeah, typically what we do is we help them understand the complexity of their chronic condition and that their lifestyle and bad habits, maybe that we don't call them bad habits, but, you know, just the habits they grew up with or the habits they developed along the way. We help them understand how that is contributing to their chronic condition. And we work on creating goals with them, helping them with a few lifestyle interventions and teaching them to be their own advocate and take charge of their own health. I think that's the part that's most exciting to me is when you can engage them in, like, they're the leader. We never push. We help them see what needs to change. We help them kind of view it from a different lens, but we believe in them. And they know that when we believe in them, then they start to believe in themselves and they start engaging and managing their own health. And when you see that transformation, I think that's the most exciting part of care management.
That is fantastic, Marcy. You and your entire team should be very, very proud of the work that you do. I know us across the company are very proud of the work that you do and just your ability to really holistically view the patients and work with physicians to really align patient needs and lifestyle to services that will really ultimately have a gigantic impact on their health outcomes. John, was there anything that you wanted to add to that?
I think a really important piece of care management, and I think in healthcare now and somewhat for sure in the future, is that resource and having a better understanding of all the resources that are available in your area, and that could be things you're not well aware of, and that's where care management is very important because the care manager can work on behalf of a patient to find and sometimes out of the box, you know, resources that can be helpful for them. So addressing social determinants of health, social determinants of barriers to bring them to a place where, you know, the physician, the care manager can't do it all. There's got to be, sometimes there's a lot of other resources out there that can bring them to where they need to be to push them forward.
Thank you, John. And thank you both for all of the information that you've provided today and sharing a little bit about the amazing work that you do. Before we start to wrap up for today, do you have any tips or last bits of advice for our listeners today?
Yeah, I know that Medical Advantage offers a full suite of care management services from program assessment and consultation to recruiting and training support to full service implementation, offering highly customized services to standard delivery of services like the Medicare chronic care management and report patient monitoring. There's other avenues versus just like direct patient care management. There's also those additional services that can help elevate what's already there.
Thank you, John. Marcy, this has been incredibly informative and obviously very relevant to many of the practices that we work with every day. This is such a great opportunity to help ease many barriers to care while truly improving efficiency in care management and efficacy in care management. For any of our listeners today seeking more information, I would like to invite our audience to find us on LinkedIn and Facebook or our website, medicaladvantage.com, where you'll find additional resources such as blogs, webinars, white papers, and much more. And should you have any questions or wish to speak with us in more detail, you can also reach us directly via email at info@medicaladvantage.com. Thank you again, John and Marcy, for your time today. And thank you always to our audience for listening. See you next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Medical Advantage podcast, where we discuss the ideas and technologies changing healthcare and what they mean to your organization. For more information, visit us at medicaladvantage.com. And make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a show.